Friends, as we venture into this Lenten season, I want to talk about a time of eager beginnings. When John the Baptist appeared along the River Jordan, proclaiming that the Messiah was coming, his announcements were met with an astounding range of audience. All four Gospels talk about those events. It's the beginning point of our Lord's public ministry. And it is surprising, you know. Here was this curious man who appeared with a message that for some seemed strange. For others was no doubt an answer to prayer, because they yearned for the coming of the Messiah. But here was this man who said, you know, it's about to happen. Be ready. Prepare yourselves. Come, repent, and be baptized. And the gospel accounts mention that people came from great distances to hear John. In fact, you know, it was happening kind of out of the way. But even people came from Jerusalem. In fact, some of them were sent from Jerusalem to find out what was going on out there in the hinterland. The authorities, the religious authorities in Jerusalem, were always alert to notice anything unusual that was happening that had anything to do with spiritual matters, because they, I think, regarded that all spiritual things should begin with them. But John drew this audience. Well, God drew together an audience for this important message that was to be made to the world. Now, the message was one that some had been waiting for. And probably for some others, it was the reminder of what they ought to have been waiting for, because they were reminded that the Messiah had been promised long, long before. And so the attention of that part of the world was drawn to John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was very quick to make clear that he was not the Messiah himself. Because, of course, when someone came proclaiming good news, some people said, well, I guess this is the Messiah. But John the Baptist, at the beginning of his message, began to make it clear that the coming one was still to appear. And when he engaged in conversations with those who had been sent out from Jerusalem, he reminded them that things were about to change. He reminded them that it was no longer going to be sufficient just to trace your lineage from Abraham, but that God was doing new things, fulfilling his word, and that they, along with everyone else, should listen carefully. And then, of course, in a due time, we don't know exactly how long after John first began preaching along the Jordan and baptizing. In any case, after a time, all the gospel record tells us is that Jesus came from Nazareth and was baptized by John in the River Jordan. course, there are a few more details about the occasion of the baptism. But it began, you see, the transition from the emphasis or the attention being focused on John to the attention being diverted to Jesus. Because John began very quickly to point out that this was the one, this Jesus. In fact, John acknowledged that he only recognized Jesus in the time, the moment of the baptism. He knew that God's promise of a Messiah was about to be fulfilled, and he knew he had a role to perform. But he too awaited meeting the Messiah. And then the gospel accounts tell us that John the Baptist pointed Jesus out, specifically to some individuals, at least in the record, specifically to some individuals. And again, things began to unfold, because this was then the Messiah, and those who were earnestly interested wanted to get to know him better. And so the attention began to shift from John the Baptist to Jesus. And of course, that was John's intention, and that was God's intention. You know, all of this was happening in a sort of backwater space in Israel. Most important things in Israel were thought to always take place in Jerusalem. But now things were different. And the gospel record tells us that Jesus began to preach and teach. He also began to heal. And attention grew. The passage I read from Matthew 4 indicated that, you know, people came from all directions to hear Jesus. And of course, we can expect that some of them came with the fascination of wanting to be in on the latest. And some of them, no doubt, came because they heard of his miraculous healings. But in whatever drew them there, they were then drawn to this man, Jesus the Messiah. And his ministry began. And you know, it was a time of euphoria, excitement. It was a time of wonderful things happening. And people who probably had been going along in their faith in a very ordinary, mundane way, we're now re-energized and refreshed and renewed. And this, of course, was the beginning of Christ's ministry. It was a time of excitement. It was a time when people were amazed at what was happening. It was a time when people were listening closely and watching attentively. I love the story of from Luke about a time when Jesus was teaching along the shores of Galilee, and the crowd became large, and he actually summons the fishing boat, actually named whose it was. It was Simon's boat. And he sat in it to give himself a little breathing space from the crowd so that more people could see him and hear him. That just reflects the character of the time and the enthusiasm that with which Jesus was met that, you know, the crowds were so large that you needed to create a little space around him. And of course, we know it's only the beginning of the story, but it's a story in, at that time, a somewhat different mood than came later. Because at that moment in time, everyone seemed enthused. Now, I think that probably in the back rooms of Jerusalem, anxiety had already set in. Because it was hardly tolerable that a religious development as significant as the coming of the Messiah should be happening, and it wasn't under their control. But for the most part, the crowds received Jesus enthusiastically. And it was a fresh start in faith for many. And in this Lenten season, we'll walk through some of the other sets of circumstances that emerged as Christ's ministry continued. But I also said that I wanted this to be a time when we kind of reflected on our own walk of faith in the light of Jesus' experience. And you know, in our own lives of faith, there are sometimes moments of great excitement. It's not that way all the time, but there are seasons of special enthusiasm and excitement. I talked last week about, you know, our first experience of communion. And maybe that was a season of excitement for us in faith. And certainly along the way in life, there are those occasions when the reality and the significance of our faith comes to us with great power. And we are moved to recommit ourselves to this faith that we profess. And those seasons of exhilaration and excitement are wonderful and quite to be sought after, actually, but always in the reality that there are other things that have to be dealt with in the life of faith. And as we progress along the way with Christ's life and his experiences, we will find ways in which our faith walk is similarly challenged. And what does all this mean? It means, of course, that this gospel account is important, not just because it tells us the historical story of the things that happened. It's important because it gives us a model, and it gives us insight into the life of faith. It draws us to Jesus, and as we see his life unfolding in that meager space of time that was his for public ministry, we learn how to live as his people. And so this is the bright, cheery, encouraging, enthusiastic starting point. And it's good that we have that. We will also explore the more challenging moments in the life of faith, both for our Lord and for ourselves. But I invite you in this Lenten season to open your Bibles and read some of those accounts. As I said, all four gospel writers address the time around the arrival on the scene of John the Baptist. But there's also to be seen in those passages the response of the people. And we'll kind of try and trace that response as his ministry continued and unfolded. But right from the very beginning, there was a core of people who grasped the significance by the grace of God of what was happening and attached themselves to Jesus Christ that they might travel with him, listen to him, go to see him when he was present in their part of the world, and begin a life of faith that was focused not just on the past, but that was focused on the present and the future. So, when you've read some of those passages, pause and thank God that this record has been preserved for us, and that from it we may learn more about what God has called us to in Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, this is good news. John came proclaiming good news. Jesus came announcing good news. Thanks be to God.